John, the market has got more energy at the moment than it had in the last couple of years. There's a sense there's more buyers coming through, but that doesn't mean that real estate agents should stop talking to the vendors and telling them about the reality, about prices, about the fact that they need to be kept up to date. What does vendor management 2.0 look like for McGraths? What does world-class management look like?
Well, I think vendor management starts obviously at the listing by setting up the expectations right. One of the problems, a lot of agents overpromise in the listing, and sometimes it's deceitful, sometimes they're just so enthusiastic to get the business, they almost give the farm away and they say, oh, look, you know, I'll ring you four times a day and we'll get you $1 million guaranteed and all this sort of stuff that may or may not be achievable. So I'd say to people, you know, the success of a listing and the beginning of the vendor management starts at the point of listing, not the day before the auction. From there on in, for me, it's around frequency and quality of information. So if you speak to a vendor once a week, that will have a certain amount of alignment. If you speak to them every day, you're going to have a much better chance of having everyone on the same page. Not only that, but you also have them understand that every day I'm working on your property. If you're working on a property every day and you're ringing up buyers and you're trying to sort of get interest in it, but they don't hear from you for a week, they actually don't think you're working on the home. So part of my strategy was I wanted them to know everything I'm thinking, everything I'm hearing, everything I'm doing. Builds credibility and gives them all the information they need. Two is, it's not just about general talk. Oh, yeah, yeah, a lot of people interested, a lot of good feedback. I would say, great, we had the Joneses, the Browns, and the Panoses through today. Let me just tell you through what each one said, because it's interesting. They all had different views on your home. You know, Joneses loved it, but they didn't like the street. The Browns loved the street, but it's far too small for them, and they thought we were a little bit optimistic on price. You know, the Panos family, they're going to come back on the weekend for a second inspection. They missed out on a property around the road, and you know, they're probably looking, of the three I had through today, probably the most serious contenders for. And that brings people into my head and into the real marketplace. So I avoid generalities, like people are saying the road's too busy. A, because it doesn't have the same credibility and impact. B, is it sounds a bit like a sales spiel. Oh, well, you're saying that to me just because you want me to bring my price expectations down. So I think that's really important, the frequency. My ideal combination is at least a daily phone contact, quite possibly additional email contacts within there, because every time I'll just let them know. A weekly face-to-face meeting followed up with a weekly written report. That might seem like hard work, but it's not, because most of the phone calls every day take a couple of minutes. The weekly face-to-face meeting can take half an hour, especially if it's in your office, so you haven't got, you know, lots and lots of travel time, but you actually make it more efficient. And Wayne Vaughan, our number one agent, has the vast majority of his vendor meetings in his office on a Monday afternoon. And the weekly report, especially if you have an assistant, they can follow through. You're basically just collating everything you've told them and all the activity during the week, and you might have a good report on inquiry and so forth. And you send them to, why do you send them a report? A lot of people listen, but not to everything when you're telling them. Most people, given the opportunity to listen and then read it, they'll pick up the extra bits they might have forgotten. The other thing is often, and I had this instance yesterday at a property I was at, often there's two parties to a real estate transaction, and yet you only are communicating more so with one of the two. Husband or wife, for whatever reason, seems to be the main point of contact. You don't always make know that the message is being relayed to both parties. So I went to one yesterday, and it's a client of mine, and I, you know, I was talking about price, and I said, you know, look, at the moment, I think, based on feedback, we're between 10 and 20% above the market. We've had 25 to 30 groups through the property, and feedback has been great, but no one's made an offer yet, and here's been the feedback on price. And she said to me, well, you know, I agree 100%, but you need to speak to my husband, because you and I are on the same page. He's still hanging in there hoping we can get that bit more, but she said, I agree with you. So it's sort of interesting, because that dynamic, and most of the communication had been with his wife at their request. But she was sort of saying that I'm 100% agreeing with you. So you need to make sure that all parties involved with the decision are on the same page and hearing the same story. Frequent, quality, unfiltered. So we're not talking about exaggerating anything, editing anything. You can give things that could be considered critical of a property, but you can give them in a positive note. So I might say, Tom, look, as you know, there's been quite a bit of commentary around the busyness of the street. In fact, the Joneses came back again today. They said they're not going to pursue it because they're worried about their kids. They've got a couple of 2 and 3 year olds. They're just worried that if the gate was left open, there's a lot of trucks come down here. That was their perspective. The way I countered that with them was, and then I will tell the client what I said, because they need to know that I'm actually not just hearing the feedback, I'm trying to counter it. So I'd say, I talked to them about the possibility of double glazing, the possibility of, you know, some sort of childproofing of the home or whatever. And then they hear the message, they understand, they're smart enough to understand, but they also know I'm still on their side. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, we've got this problem, that's a problem, no one likes this, no one likes that, because the worst thing as an agent you can do is have a vendor thinks you've actually gone to the buyer's side and you're trying to work on the buyer's behalf to bring their price down, mm-hmm. which is not our job. But equally, if the vendor stays up at a price level that's not achievable, that's not in their best interest either. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of, you know, our job is to work on the buyers to get them up the highest possible price expectation. Our job is to make sure the vendor's there at that sort of price as well.
John, we've spent roughly about an hour now talking about what to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. And you've been very transparent, and I can say that because I sit in through some of the McGrath sessions that you have, your power breakfast.
Yeah.
I also sit in through real estate gyms where they're open to everyone. All the groups come, individual offices, and I sit through ARIC and listen to some of your sessions.
Yeah.
And you speak the same. It's mm-hmm. not like there are secrets for this group and these people get different information. So I do appreciate that. And the people are appreciating it. But I want to ask you about not the what to and not the how to, but the want to, the desire, the motivation. Because most people, it's not they're unable, it's more they're unwilling to pay the price. John, are you still motivated? I mean, because you've got more money now than when you were 20.
Yeah.
So you turn around and think to yourself, it's not I need to hit these dollars because I need to buy these assets and what have you. Would that be a fair enough comment?
Yeah, look, I think that most people that have been in business for a while that have done quite well out of it get to a point of comfortable. Some people are fortunate to move beyond comfortable. But anyone that's in one of those places knows that there's a lot more to it than just having a couple of extra zeros on your bank account. It's around, do you love what you do? I guess at some point it moved beyond the money side, because I was fortunate, anyway, touch wood at this point, to not have money as a fear anymore. Although that was, I've got to say, that was my major fear and one of my driving. When I left school and I had no money and I was fearful of having no money for the rest of my life, it was really important to me that I got some money and I got some assets. Once you achieve those things, then you start reevaluating your life and you're saying, well, I want to keep growing financially and investing sensibly and doing well individually and as a corporate entity, but it's not the number one driver. The number one driver is, can I make a difference? For me anyway, can I make a difference? And I think I'm a bit like you in this regard, Tom, that I love coaching, mentoring, and seeing people blossom. Someone just walked in a few minutes ago and they said, I'm just off to have lunch with Shannon Whitney from Bressick Whitney, who's one of our absolute competitors. I'm incredibly proud today that I know that both Shannon and Ivan came through here and they've made an incredibly great success of their business and their lives. And I think that I'm fortunate to have played a role in that, because they came here and they learned how to do it right. They learned their systems and then they flapped their wings and they went out and they've been successful. Some people say, does that drive you crazy? Well, in an ideal world, I probably have everyone that comes here and does well want to stay here forever, but I know that it's not going to happen. Some people will see opportunity elsewhere, they'll get bored, they'll change their lives, whatever. So what motivates me is coming in every day and making a difference, not just in this company, but in the real estate industry. One of my goals when I started in real estate was to see if I could change the perception of the community about real estate agents, because our industry hasn't had a great reputation. It's better now, but it still needs improvement, in my opinion. And I said, well, you know, if just teaching people to tell the truth, teaching people to follow through on their commitments, teaching people to have pride and to develop their business with excellence, if their message is that I can drip three through our office and through the community and through ARIC and through News Limited and through, you know, your gyms and so forth, I mean, that's a pleasure for me. Because I figured, you know, hopefully, touch wood, for the rest of my life, I'm not going to have an insecurity about money. But I do want to be relevant and connected. And I love innovation. I just love pushing the envelope all the time. What can we do? Well, how can we do it? How can we do a better ARIC than last year? How can we do a better marketing program than we used to do last year? How can we improve our training programs? So all those things are important to me.
On ARIC, you think it's going to be better than last year?
So every year, our very clear goal is this ARIC must be better than the last one. That being the case, 13 years on, this has to be the best ARIC ever if we're going to achieve our goal. And as much as it sort of, you know, sounds maybe parochial, I think every year ARIC has been better than the year before. Maybe one or two years some of people said, I thought last year was better. But generally speaking, I get email after email each year saying, I've been to 6 ARICs, I've been to 10 ARICs, James Tostevin, been to 13 ARICs. It was the best one yet. And for me, I think, yes, we've done it. We did what we set out. Now, that gets harder because every year you raise the bar, you've got to go looking harder and farther for better speakers, better venues, better trade expo contributors. I think genuinely, when I look at the speakers we got this year, Chris Gardner, Pursuit of Happiness, I mean,
this is the real guy. This is the guy that Will Smith played, because a lot of people, yeah, when they heard the name Chris Gardner, they mixed him up with a motorcycle rider. They didn't know who the name was. But we're talking about the actual guy that Will Smith played in The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah. So you know, if you haven't seen Pursuit of Happiness, go and see it. Whether you come to ARIC or not, go and see the movie. Story of a guy that basically ended up on a park bench with his 6 or 7 year old son, and no money. And what do I do? And he changed his entire life and ended up building and owning a very successful stockbroking enterprise from nothing. So that's an inspirational story. John Simon, our own inspirational story.
He was bankrupt, was he, John?
Bankrupt. He's now got a billion-dollar company. Commonwealth Bank have bought into it, and they've bought a significant piece of it. One of the finest and nicest human beings I've ever met, which is, for me, far more important than he's built a billion-dollar organization. He's done it with integrity and generosity. And I'm very fortunate to have him as a friend of mine, and that's exciting to have him. Alan Jones, one of the Australia's great success stories.
They loved him 2 years ago, wasn't it, John? They just adored him.
I don't think I've ever had more feedback about a speaker than we did for Jonesy a couple of years ago. And it was, as you know, we do it from time to time because there's so much more for every speaker to say, but we avoid having too many duplication speakers. But everyone said, can you bring Alan Jones back? We got such a buzz out of what he said. We felt so good. So Alan's coming back. So there are a few of the what you might call non-real estate. People like yourself who are what I would say are some of the best real estate coaches and mentors. Josh Fegan and yourself will be speaking at ARIC. People like Phil Harris, Tracy Dixon, who are some of the best real estate agents on the planet, not just here in Australia, on the planet. We got panels. We got some dynamic young women. We've got a young woman by the name of Christine Michael that works with us and had her own business before. She's now back working for us. She is one of the most polished, intelligent, sophisticated sales professionals I've ever met. I spent the morning with her before you and I met earlier on today. I had a great hour with her and our team, and she's just a class act. So many great people are going to be there. And Thomas, I think we said on the webinar earlier, if anyone was on that, they might have heard it, that it's not just about the information you get, it's the inspiration. Because you could go and get the same information if you click on enough mouse clicks and read enough blogs, and you can get that. But it's the experience you have when you get the information. And if you're listening to Chris Gardner, and if that moves something in your heart and soul, that's when your life changes. Just going to a book and picking up a book and just reading, you know, here's 10 tips on how to be better at real estate. Do that too, because that's important and that's a good step. But if you're in a certain frame and state when you read it, and you've got tears in your eyes, you're thinking, my God, I was feeling sorry for myself before I listened to this speech. Here is a guy who is 10 times worse off than me. And he's now built an amazing success story of his own business and himself and whatever. So, look, I hope, you know, it's on end of May. I think you're going to put some details
I'll
out there.
I'll have a link on there to make it easy for people and make it attractive for them to come to it. I mean, John, I'm not a shareholder of it. I've got no vested interest in it. But what I have got is it's changed my life.
Mm.
And it wasn't actually an ARIC event. It was a TRET event in Noosa where something that was said more or less got me to rewrite my agreement with reality, because I realised that I'd been living my life out of my personal history, out of my biography, that you can't do it, pretending that it's your genes, that it's hereditary, that it's the fact that you don't have the contacts. And I don't think I would have thought that second if I actually opened just a book or read it on a YouTube video. Do you know what I mean?
You had to experience it.
You had to experience it.
Look, I think I think you've explained it well, Tom. I think that's reality. So that's why, you know, look, I hope people get there. If you can't afford it, send us an email and we'll find out a way to, you can pay it off over the next 5 years. I don't really care. For me, it's about making the difference. And if I can assemble 16 or 17 of the best speakers on the planet and bring them to this country, I want to have everyone there that can get there. And we'll be sold out. We'll have 3,000 people and we'll be sold out. But if you're there and you're watching and you're a part of your community, my community, or none of our community, but you've heard about it, just come along. I think we've got to wind up because we're running out of battery and film, but good to see you. And,
you too, John.
And I'll see you at ARIC and I appreciate you.
Yeah, and I just want to thank everyone. We've just had an hour or so with John. There's a link there that's going to take you to ARIC. Thank you so much. Good real estate agent. Not a bad bloke either. So thanks a lot. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Tom.